learned Daf Chavav from Maseches Ksubos. We're going to back up a little bit, even though we did this a little last time also. The Gemara over here is talking about whether or not a person has a chazaka. You can prove that he's a kohen based on things that happened in the past. The Gemara also brings in whether he's a Levi or not. So it turns out that it's a machlaikis between Reb Chiya, or not a machlaikis, Reb Chiya, whether or not you could, based on what activities that you see them, or based on the father, on Eidos, whether or not you can make somebody a Kayin. So we're going to start from three lines, the last word of the three lines before the bottom of the Beis, on Chaf Hei Am Beis. That's where we'll start from, because that's kind of a good place to continue. Umi de Rebbe Hela Ben Api Aviv Lekuhuna, by the fact that based on the raya that we just brought beforehand in the Brisa, that Rebbe was based on the testimony of a father, Rebbe was Rebbe allowed somebody to become a kohen, to be considered a kohen based on what his father testified. So since it was a machlekes between Rebbe and Reb Chiya helas ach al pi achiv l'leviya. So Reb Chiya must have been the mandiyomer that said that a brother based on what we consider, let's say, testimony, although we'll see it's not quite testimony, somebody saying that he was a Levi and his brother also therefore became a Levi as well. So the Gemara asked the question, Reb Chiya Maishna ben Deloy, what's the reason why we didn't allow the son to become the Kayin, the Karev Hu Etzel Aviv, because he's considered a relative, and since he's a relative, therefore a father does not have the right to give Eidos. And if we're talking about Eidos, and the problem is Eidos, so Achnani Karev Hu Etzel Achiv, a brother also is considered one of the relatives that are not able to testify and give Eidos for the sake of their own brother. So why should there be a difference between a father-son relationship relationship and a brother relationship? So now on the top of Chavav Amrav, the Gemara answer is very simple. Mesiach Lefi Tumai. The answer is over here, it's not Eidos. The story that happened by the brother saying that he's a Levi was not an Eidos, was not meant to make his brother into a Levi. He was simply telling a story, and the result of the story was, oh, you're a Levi. If you're a Levi, then your brother's a Levi. So that's how we figured out that his brother was a Levi. But not, it wasn't meant as Eidos. It was meant simply to tell a story. And the Gemara gives an example of Mesiach Lefi Tumoy. Ki hoda amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Ma Yisrael, there was a story about Adam Echad Shahaya Mesiach Lefi Tumoy, that he was just talking, he was telling a story about Omar, and he said as follows, Zechareini, I remember Kishani Tinoik, that I was a young child, Umurkaval Ksefoy Shal Abba, and I was riding on my father's shoulders, Vahitzi Uni, Vibes HaSefer, and he took me out of school, Vivshituni Eskatonti, and he took off my shirt, Vitviluni, and he took me to the mikvah, Lecho B'Chuma La'erev, so that I could eat Chuma that night. As we all know, that if a person is Tomei, they have to have Herev Shemesh, they need sunset in order to be able to eat Chuma. Okay. And the Gemara finishes off, which is Reb Chiya Shita, Reb Chiya Mesayim Bo, and Reb Chiya finishes off the story, V'chaveir Bedilin Mimeni, and my friends would stay away from me to make sure I didn't become Tamei, V'hayu Kairin Oisi, and they would call me Yoichanan Oichol Chalois, that was my name, Yoichanan, that I'm even able to eat Chalo, which is actually the level of Kahuna. The Hello Rebbe, the Kahuna Alpiv, and Rebbe says, you know what, with that kind of story, even Rebbe would agree that you could consider that person a Kayan. Why? Because he didn't say Eidos in that case. It was just a story. He was like, oh yeah, I remember I was riding on my father's shoulders. So that's a story. As a story, at the level of a story, then you could, Mesiach Lefi Tumah, you can make a person either a kohen or a Levi. So anyway, it comes out the maskon of the Gemara over here that the machlekes between Rebbe and Reb Chiya is whether you can trust Eidos, or it has to be only Mesiach Lefi Tumah. According to Rebbe, even Eidos works, because the Gemara beforehand, on the bottom of Chaf Hei Am Beis, Rebbe listened to a father who testified that his son was really a kosher kohen, and Reb Chiya says, no, I don't take testimony. But Mesiach Lefi Tumah, if he happens to be talking, we say, oh, that works out. So then, Anachanami, we can make somebody into a Levi and even a kohen, based on the story that the Gemara gives. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Kishem, Rav Shimon says, Kishem Shaturuma chazaka lekahuna, the same way as we've been saying till now, that if we see somebody eating truma, that establishes that he's a kayin. Kach, maiserishon chazaka lekahuna, so too, maiserishon, which, right, that's maiser, also establishes that somebody is a kayin. Now we're going to talk about this, because as you know, maiserishon normally goes to the levi. V'acholik bebezdin einoi chazaka. And somebody, again, I'm just going to translate the words literally, the Gemara is going to discuss this, somebody who gets truma or meiser in Bezdin, that is not considered a chazaka that approves that he is a kayin. So, first the Gemara asks the first basic question. Meiser rishon de levi hu. What are we talking about? How does that prove that he's a kayin? If anything, it's supposed to go to a levi. It should prove that he's a levi. The Gemara answers to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's shita, the tanya we learned in the Braisa. Truma le kayin u'meiser rishon le levi. Dibur Rabbi Akiva. The normal way, menatoya, the way things are supposed to go, is that truma, as we know, that for sure goes to a kohen, and the point is that meiser rishon, which is meiser as opposed to, let's say, for example, meiser ani, but meiser rishon goes given specifically to a levi. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. And remember, we're following Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Omer, meiser rishon af l'kohen. You can give meiser rishon to a kohen also. It doesn't only go to a levi, also to a kohen. So one second. So the Gemara says, you're trying to prove that he is a kohen based on the fact that he got a meiser rishon, but it could theoretically also be a levi. So the Gemara asks, Aim Adama Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah af l'kohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, also a kohen. L'kohen v'loy levi mi yomar. He never said that it only goes to a kohen and not to a levi. So once again, how do we prove that he's a kohen? So the Gemara says, actually, yes, it depends when you are in history. In Basar de Kansinu Ezra, this is after Ezra made the Knas. As we know, when the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael didn't come up to Eretz Yisrael, so very few Levim came to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra said, you know what, the Levim lost their right to take Meister Rishon, and Meister Rishon only goes to the Kayanim. So Gemara says, one second, Vidilma Ikru V'yavule. So maybe you're right. He wasn't supposed to give it to the Levi. He wasn't right, but he did. Because, you know, technically, Midaraisa, I understand, it's after the Knas. But maybe he gave it to him. So how do you prove that he is a Kayin? Right, you don't have a proof. Maybe, in fact, he is, in fact, a Levi, and he got it mistakenly. Amar Rav Chista, Hocha B'mayaskinon, Kegoin de Muchsun Lo Ba'avua, Dehai de Kayin Hu. So the case over here was that this individual that received the Meiser Rishon was somebody who, you know, from the past was a Kohen. He himself was a Kohen. And he got the Meiser Rishon. So now it was a question whether he was a kosher Kohen or not. So now you see that he's getting Meiser Rishon. You can put two and two together. That will prove that, in fact, that he is a Kohen. So we're not just talking about a random guy off the street. We're talking about a guy who we thought his father was a Kohen. We wouldn't know what his situation is. So now we know if he's getting Meiser Rishon, now we know his situation is that he's a kohen. So what happened? Venafakale kolo to ben grusha ben chalutzahu. So now, and there was a rumor that his father married incorrectly, and therefore that's why he himself, this son, wasn't a kohen. The chilkuloi lididei meiser bebeis hakronos. And then what happened was they went ahead and they gave him meiser in the silo. The levi, the lav levi who. So to say that he's a Levi, he's definitely not a Levi, because his father's not a Levi. That's, you know, you can't just become a Levi. So he's definitely not a Levi. So then what was the issue? The issue is maybe he's not a proper Kohen. That's really only our suffix. So therefore we say, no, we no longer have the suffix. If we see that people are halachically giving him Meiser Rishon, that proves that he really is a proper Kohen. Saying, okay, so he's not a Levi. The issue over here is that maybe, and his father is a Kohen, but maybe he himself, the son, was not a proper Kohen. Maybe the father intermarried or did something wrong, so the son is not a Kohen. So we say, let's go back one line. So what are you going to say? Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutzahu. So you're going to say, maybe the son is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So loy mi boy le Mandi Yomar Meiser Rishon Osur Lezarim. So according to the Mandi Yomar that says that somebody who is not a Levi, a proper Levi, is not allowed to eat it, is a chayiv. So deloy have a yav lahu. So certainly they wouldn't have given it to him. So now the fact that they're giving it to him what is a raya is proof. The fact that they're halachically giving it to him is proof that he must be, in this case, a kohen. Ela afilu lemandi yamar ma'isarishan mutter lizarim. But even according to the mandi yamar that says, and there is a shita like this in the Gemara that says that you're somebody who is not a levi or a kohen is in fact allowed. There is no punishment for somebody eating Meiser Rishon, who's somebody who's not a levi or a kohen eating it, there is no punishment. Hani mili lemisak lehu. That's if somebody gives it to him to eat, to feeds him the food. But to give it to him as fulfilling my mitzvah of giving meiser, that for sure is not mutter. That for sure is not a kiyum of the mitzvah. That for sure is of the mitzvah of giving truma, of giving meiser rather. So therefore, the fact that they gave it to him, bebeis hagronois, that's the case over here, that he went to the silo to collect it, you have to be a kohen or a levi, and nowadays, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have to be a kohen in order to collect meiser rishon. So therefore, this is good proof, the fact that he was able to collect it as a matono, that shows that he was obviously a kohen. Because even, in other words, there is a shita, a kohen. Now, because Meister Rishon, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, has to go to a kohen. Right, after Ezra's knas, it had to go to a kohen. So nowadays, if halachically, if this guy says the Rabbonon paskind that I am allowed to receive Meister Rishon, that would mean that we paskin that he is a kohen. The fact that you go to a kohen's house and he has Meister Rishon sitting on the table, he says, sure, help yourself, go ahead and eat it. That's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Meister Rishon, and according to one Mandi Yomer, anybody is allowed to eat it at that point. Okay, so that's point number one. Then the end of the Braisa said, "Va'achiluk bebezdin einay chazaka." It made that the second half of the statement was that if giving out Meiser Rishon in Bezdin, that doesn't prove anything. So the Gemara says, one second, "Iba Bezdin lo yave chazaka, hecha have chazaka." If in Bezdin, where they're giving the psak, whether or not it's mutter or not, and that doesn't establish anything, so where exactly is he going to be that all of a sudden that now all of a sudden the chazaka is a better chazaka? Remember, the whole reason why it proves anything is because halachically we're paskening he's able to take it. So if Bezdin would be the one normally giving the halacha. So if it's not happening in Bezdin, where is it happening? Amar Rav Sheshe es hachi ka omar. Hacholek truma benichsei aviv. It's a very interesting case. The case we're talking about over here is that a father who was presumably a levi or a kohen, and he died, and he has part of his possessions are trumas and meisers. That's part of his possessions. So now the children are there dividing up the property. So achelik truma benichseyav. Somebody, one of the things that they're taking for dividing up is the truma of his father's possessions. Im achiv with the rest of his brothers bibezin, and that's the bezin because bezin is doing the division. Einoi chazaka, so einoi chazaka, that doesn't prove that he is a kohen merely by the fact that bezin says, okay, you get these tomatoes. That doesn't prove anything, or you get these olives. That doesn't prove that he's really a kohen. So pshita, so of course, just because that's dividing up their father, nobody's giving him meiser. That's not a din in meiser rishon. So the Gemara says no. Ma odetem, I would have thought me da. Just like everybody else is eating the other food. So when Bezin says you could take this food, that means they're really giving it to him for the purposes and for the sake of eating it. And that means he really is truly a kayin. Kamash malon, no. There could be some possessions that are meant for you to eat, and some possessions that I'm giving it to you for the value of it. For the monetary value of it, which means you can sell it. So it doesn't prove that I'm giving it to you so that you're allowed to eat it. And that's what the Braisa says. Even if Bezdin is giving it to you because of some other circumstances, doesn't mean that Bezdin is giving it to you, but Teiras, Koyhein, that you can eat at as Meiser Rishon. Okay, so that's the end of that sugya of whether or not somebody is a kohen. Now we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein malin l'kuhuna al pi eidechet." So, if you recall, there were various shitas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says we never trust one witness to say he's a kohen, and then we had Rabbi Yehuda's shita that said. Right, sorry, that is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Then we had Rabbi Eliezer Shita that says as long as there's nobody making complaints, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that we could listen to one aid. So the Gemara's question is like this. Those are the shitas. Those were the various shitas in the Mishnah. So comes along the Gemara and says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Basically, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing, that as long as no one's complaining, and one witness says that he is a kohen, we're going to listen to him. So what would be the difference between the two shitas, even though they use different words, but basically they are agreeing in essence, they're agreeing that as long as one person says he's a kohen, we'll listen to him. And if you want to say the simple case, that's simply because somebody came and said, and pointed to him and said, you're not a Kohen, pointed to the guy and said, he's not a Kohen. Maybe that would be the difference in between them. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, always yes, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, as long as there's no one else here. As the Gemara says, the Rebbe Elazar suffer iruchad. Rebbe Elazar, even the complaint of one person already ruins him. And Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel suffer iruch trei. In order to create a problem, you need two people to say that he's not a kohen. No, real edim. If real edim come and say he's not a kohen, then of course we're going to listen to that. So if you want to say that that's the explanation of the machlekes in the Mishnah, the Gemara says that can't be, because ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan divrei hakol ein irapachos mishnayim. In order for it to be a real complaint, it has to be two people. Just one guy who has a grudge comes and tells you, you're not a kohen, that doesn't mean anything. You need real testimony in order to make a guy not a kohen. Okay, so let's go back. So the point is that if that's not what they're arguing about, so then what are they arguing about? We're not left with a real basic machlokes here. So Gemara says, very interesting case. Completely different. Over here, what are we talking about? Who? We know the father is a kohen. Okay, step number one, he's in a family of kohenim. V'nafek ale kolo de ben grusha ben chalutzuhu. But the problem was that the son has, there's a rumor that says that he is not a kohen. Okay, it's just a rumor, by the way. No witnesses testify. It's just a rumor. V'achtinu, so therefore, Bezdin demoted him and said, okay, well, based on this rumor, you're not a kohen. V'asa eid echad v'amar yadanabe de kohenu. And then comes along one witness and says, no, he's good. I know that his mother is a kosher, you know, whatever, and therefore he is a kohen. Now, that's not real testimony because there's only one aid. However, now on the top of Chavav Amabez, v'askinu, and the Bezdin said, we just had a rumor. The rumor didn't really prove. One guy comes and says, yeah, we know. Okay, so that's good enough. Now, here's the problem. But then two real witnesses come and say, now he's in trouble. Because now two witnesses say, no, we know that his mother is a grusha or whatever. So now he's for sure not a kohen. And of course, the Bezin has no choice, but they have to demote him again. So he's not a kohen because you have two witnesses saying that he's not a kohen. Here's the interesting part of the story. This is where the machlokes is. Va'asa eid echad, and then another, after that story, another single witness comes. Va'amar yadanabe de kohenu, and now he's saying that he's a kohen. So again, remember the story. The story was, it all started with just a rumor. So one witness says he's good. Then two say he's bad. That's really bad. But then another witness here says that he's good. So now these two, you now have two witnesses that say that he's a kosher person. But the problem is that these two witnesses did not testify together. And that's the issue. But first the Gemara actually says a different problem. And everybody agrees that these two witnesses, the first and the last, even though they were individuals and they came to Bezdin separately, will say, no problem, that's still an Eidos. That's still considered a testimony that Bezdin can listen to. So then what's the Machlekes? Here they're arguing simply whether this just doesn't look good for Bezdin, because Bezdin flip-flopped over here. First they said he's no good, then he said he's good, then they said he's no good again, and then if they're going to go back and forth and they're going to say, yeah, it's good, that means that Bezdin doesn't know what they're doing. So do we worry about Bezdin looking good? Can Bezdin themselves go back and forth? Since this Bezdin already, based on the two Adam, said he's no good, they can't go back on their word and say, you know, we're going to put this together and make him look good. Because we're worried that Bezdin is not going to, that nobody's going to take Bezdin seriously anymore. We can't go back and forth. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel suffer, no. Anan achdinun lei, va'anan maskinun lei. He says, listen, we put him down. This is Bezdin talking. We had reason to believe he was no good. We said no. When we have reason to believe he is good, we say yes. What's the problem? And therefore, we're not worried about the fact that it's, that there was a, that, that Bezdin's not gonna look, it's not gonna look good for Bezdin. Okay, fine. So that seems to be the machloikis between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Based, so then the Gemara asks, Maskif lo Rav Ashi, right? This becomes a very strong question. Maskif lo Rav Ashi, I hachi. If so, it's because you're just worried about the Bezdin back and forth. I feel a treva trei nami. Then even if we started with, even if we had two people at the end, your whole business was, right, the story that you established was there was 1 8 in the beginning and then 1 8 at the end, and you're trying to mitzarif them. The truth of the matter is, even if 2 Adim showed up at the end, you'd still have the same problem. Because the problem is that you went down and up too many times, and you can't go up and down so many times. That's the issue. So what is the, why does the story have to be with 1 8? So the Gemara says, you're right, and because of that reason, Rav Ashi says that cannot be what they're arguing about, because then we wouldn't need to create this complicated story. Elo Amar Rav Ashi, no, we need this complicated story because that is exactly what they're arguing about. Because it says, "Bemitzdarf le'edus kamiflagi." They're arguing about whether or not you can put one and one together. That's the machlekes. So even though it's very interesting, even though this is a random mishnah in the middle of Masechtas Ksubas, and we're talking about kaihanim, whether he's a kohen, and that happens to be the sugya of what we're talking about. Really, this has nothing to do with the sugya. As this is a sugya in Sanhedrin or Makkos, this is a sugya in Eidus, and whether the Eidim are kosher Eidim, as the Gemara itself says, ubeplukta dahani tanoi. They're really arguing in the same thing as we have in a braisa. Notice there is no other Mishnah that has this machlekes. It's a braisa. The Tanya we learned in a braisa. Ein edos mitzdarfos. You don't consider two edim be considered a group, an edos. Ad sheyiru shneim ke'echad, until both of them see it together. So Rashi says, what does that mean by see it together? So Rashi gives a very interesting moshul. You have a case where one person says, I saw Reuven borrow $100. Okay, that's what I saw. Another witness says, Reuven told me he borrowed $100. Now we know halachically, if a guy admits his moida that he owes money, we believe him. But the knowledge that I have that he owes $100 and the knowledge that you have that he owes $100 are really not based on the same story. I mean, ultimately it's the same $100. But you saw the loan and I heard him say it. So that's where the Tanakh Mishita says, no, Ad Shiyurus Shneim Ke'echad. They have to see Ke'echad. Rashi translates, not that they see it at the same time, but they have to see the same thing. Rabbi Shua ben Karcho Eimer, and Rabbi Shua says, no, Afilu B'Zechar Zeh. Okay, even if they see it at different times, they see different things, that's fine, as long as it ultimately the story is the same, they're going to be able to be mitzarif. Now, interesting, Rashi learns that this is the basis of our Mishnah. The Ein Edusim is Kayemis, but Bezdin, and Bezdin cannot accept their Edus, Ad She'yidu Shneim Ke'echod. They have to be standing in Bezdin at the same time. And that's our story, because our story was first one witness showed up, then there were two witnesses in between, and then a third or fourth witness showed up. So they weren't even in Bezdin at the same time. Rebbe Nosson Oimer, Shoymin Devarim Shalzeh Hayoim. No, no problem. I can listen to one guy today. When somebody else comes tomorrow, Shoymin Devarim, I'll listen to him. So it comes out, and this is the way Rashi learns, that's the machloikas in our Mishnah. This is a machloikas in the Brisa between the Tanakamo and Rebbe Nosson. Okay? But the same machlekes, that will be the machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Whether that, because in this story where first one aide said, I know that he's good, then two aide come, and then another aide came and said that I know that he's good, but they came to Bezdin at different times, whether or not we're going to be mitzdarf in it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says we would, and Rabbi Eliezer says that we would not. That's the machlekes in our Mishnah. But they're not arguing about the fact that they're saying slightly different testimony. They're arguing about the fact that they didn't show up in Bezdin at the same time. All right, so that takes us to the next Mishnah. We'll go back to it after. The next Mishnah, a whole different topic. Ha'isha shenechvasha bidei oivu kechovim, a woman who is, we'll translate that she was captured by goyim. So it depends. Al yidei mamoin, if the reason why they took her as a captive is because somebody owes them money, muteres lebalo, then she is still considered mutter to her husband, as Rashi very clearly explains, because they want their money, and they know if they touch her, then no one's going to pay for her. So if they want their ransom, they have to keep her good. So therefore, we can trust the fact that the goyim didn't do anything, she's mutter. Alidei nefashois, asura lebalo. But if she is taken because as Rashi says, she deserves to die. The king decided that she died. At that point, the guards don't care about her, you know, what she thinks. And therefore, they're gonna make her, as Rashi says, hefker. They're gonna treat her like hefker. And Rashi then throws in a very interesting point. The last words of Rashi are, Shema nisratzisa ba'echad mehem. Now that she's hefker, and the goyim are gonna treat her the way she wants, she will now be interested in one of them. Meaning, she's gonna either b'shas meiso, or she'll seduce one of them, because she wants to, she figures maybe with the guards I can keep them alive, you know, keep me alive as long as possible if they like me, which, or otherwise known as Stockholm syndrome, right? Where the captive becomes friendly with the captor. So the problem with that is now, if she's a married woman and she willingly lives with somebody else, so now she becomes usher to her husband. And that's what we're afraid of. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that this is a din in kahuna. That even if she doesn't do it willingly, but the fact is that even ba'inis, she's going to be usher, and it's just a question of whether we trust the goyim. If it's a din in mammon, we trust. For monetary reasons, they're not going to touch her. It's not worth it for them. They're trying to get their money, so they're not going to touch her. But for once she becomes chayev miso, then they don't care. She has no value. So then in the Hanami, we can't trust the situation anymore. She becomes aser.
So I
talk to Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Amar Rav. So he says, Lo yishanu el sheyad yishol tekif alav dekechovim. This business, by the way, when in the first half of the Mishnah, where they took her for money, for monetary reasons, the reason why we can trust them is because we're talking about that we're using Jewish law. And that Klal Yisrael is in charge of the law. So therefore, they know that if she becomes tainted, doesn't have the same value, so they're gonna play with the rules, and they're not gonna touch her. So Yad Yisrael Tekifa Al-Avikacham, that the Yidin are stronger than the Goyim. Avayad Avikacham Tekifa Al-Atzma, but when the Goyim are in charge, Afilu Al-Yidei Mama in Asura Labalo, then even if it's a monetary issue that we can't trust, that they're, because the Goyim have their own rules. So therefore, they don't care what we think, and now she's no longer mutter. That is Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok Shita, in the name of Rav. So Masiv Rava says, 1 second. Hey, Rav Yosi Hakoyin, Rav Zechariah ben Akasa. They said testimony. Abbas Yisrael, there was a girl, Shaharenu ba'Ashkeloin, that she made herself into a mashkon in the city of Ashkelon. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that she wanted to borrow $100, and she said, if I don't pay you back at this time, I will become your slave. I will be your possession. That's what she did. V'rechkuhu b'nei mishpachta, and the family said, well, in that case, you know, once she's, and I guess she didn't pay on time, and they said, okay, so now she's free, they're free to take her. And they didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore. V'eidel me'idenoisa shaloi nistero. And then witnesses says, no, but she in Lamaisa, she was never with them, but Shaloi Nitma, and nothing ever happened. So she needed witnesses to say that she's kosher. Va'amru lahem chachomim, and the chachomim said to the family, im atem aminim shaharenu, if you already believe, if you were willing to believe that she gave herself over as a mashkin, haminu shaloi nisra v'shaloi nitma, then you could believe the witnesses that say that nothing bad happened. But if you're not willing to take the testimony that of these witnesses that she's kosher, then don't believe the beginning part of the story either. Similar to the concept that we learned in Pesach and Pesach. Either you believe the whole story, you don't believe any of it. Okay, so that was the halacha that the Besdin said. So they essentially trusted the witnesses to say something, nothing happened. Now, but for our purposes, Ashkelon, but the city of Ashkelon, that was the city where the goyim are in charge. They're not following Jewish law over there. And even so, we're saying, oh, that since there was a monetary issue, we're able to trust that nothing happened. That's what the Chachamim said. The Chachamim say, you can trust that nothing happened over here, even though she was in control of the goyim. Uketani, right? And it says, Harhenu. So now on the top of Chavzayin Abadaf, we're just going to do one line, even though the sugya continues. But it says the story over there was that she gave herself over as a mashkin. Now, as a mashkin means that it was purely a monetary issue. So the diak is that only because it was a monetary issue. Nechmasha loy. But if she was taken as a captive, we would not trust that she is kosher. Okay? In other words, the reason why we trust over there that it was kosher was only because she made herself a mashkin and she wasn't really totally, or rather the other way around. The reason why it became problematic was because the rule was that since I gave myself as a mashkin, I don't pay and I didn't, since I'm the woman saying, I'm the collateral. And the moment she doesn't pay, she literally belongs to the guy. So that was why we needed witnesses to say she's kosher. But if she was actually captured on her own, let's say pirates took her, over there again, the pirates are really just interested in the ransom, over there we wouldn't trust anybody. So we see that, you wouldn't even, the Gemara wants to be medayik, you wouldn't even need Edim. Okay? Because, in other words, it's only because she gave herself over to the goyim that we need Edim to prove she's kosher. But if she got captured, we wouldn't even need Edim. We would say, oh, it's just a monetary issue. Now, this is talking about where the goyim are in charge. Right? By the pirates, or in Ashkelon, the goyim are in charge. Now, according to what Shmuel Bar Yitzchok said, when the goyim are in charge, we don't trust the goyim. So how come over here we would trust the goyim? We would trust the guy even if she was be captured. So the Gemara says, the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is that we would trust the guy if it's a monetary issue, even if she was captured. As long as it's monetary. And the story happened to be that the reason she was in the hands of the guy was because she volunteered to be the collateral. But Anachanami, even if she was captured unwillingly, without consent, still, if it's a monetary issue, we would need Edim to prove that she's kosher, even though it's only a monetary issue, because the goyim are in charge. So, in other words, it comes out, Lemaskanas Gemara, that the only time we say that when she's in their hands for monetary reasons that we trust that the goyim didn't touch or anything is only when the Jewish law is prevailing and so strong that the goyim already know that if we don't listen exactly to the law, we're not going to get anything out of it. Then the law is strong enough to control that the goyim aren't going to touch her. But the moment the law is not strong enough, it's the goyish law instead of the Jewish law. So then, once she's in the hands of the goyim for any reason, whether willingly or unwillingly, so then Anachanami, we don't trust that she is tar anymore. And well, in this story happens to be that there were Edim. But without Edim, we wouldn't know that she is in fact tar. All right, we'll stop over here. I know that the Gemara is an Ikadamri. We'll pick up with this next time.